This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny, and in this Forum segment, we're going to talk about, well, any lingering questions you might have as voters go to the polls. We're going to check in with Kim Alexander of the California Voter Foundation about such things as online registration and the increased popularity of mail-in ballots, voting technology, and last-minute online resources. And we're also going to talk with Dave McDonald, who's Registrar of Voters with Alameda County. But first, we want to go to Julie Small, who's state government reporter at KPCC, and discuss a breaking story. We now know who was behind the $11 million contribution by an Arizona nonprofit to influence California ballot measures. Julie, welcome. Glad to have you here.
Glad to be with you, Michael.
What do we know about this mysterious donor? We finally be able to name names here?
We're able to name names of more mysterious organizations. The Americans for Responsible Leadership says it's the intermediary, not the source of the contribution, and the source is Americans for Job Security. And what we know about that organization, it's run by Stephen DeMora, the former director of the New Hampshire State Republican Committee out of Alexandria, Virginia. And we're, you know, I think every journalist on the state beat, on the elections beat right now, is trying to find out more about that organization right now. And they have passed the money through another group called the Senator Protect Patient Rights. All we know about that right now is that they have a Phoenix, they have a P.O. box in Phoenix, Arizona, and we believe that they're tied to the Koch brothers.
That was initially going to be my question. There's been a lot of talk about the Koch brothers here as well as the GOP, but this is really under California law, big laundering, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what the Fair Political Practices Commission Chair Ann Ravel says. This is money laundering. They basically used other organizations to move money and to hide the source of the money. And they say they're not going to stop here. What they've gotten right now this morning is just this little bit of information. They didn't get an audit. They didn't get to see the records yet. They're going to be looking at this more closely, but they decided that the priority for them was to get voters some information right away before they cast their ballot, if those of us who haven't cast ballots yet, that is.
Can you give us a little background on how the FPCC managed to get this information released, the legal wrangling behind it?
Well, they had to work pretty hard. They sued to get the information. They first asked for it. They sued. They wanted the information just for an initial audit. And under California law, if somebody donates money to a California campaign knowing it's going to a California campaign, they have to disclose their names. And Americans for Responsible Leadership said, well, no, these donors, that doesn't apply to them. So the Fair Political Practices Commission sued them in Sacramento Superior Court. The Sacramento Superior Court ruled in favor of the, you know, California elections officials. The other side appealed the ruling, which meant the ruling was on hold. And so then the Fair Political Practices Commission ultimately turned to the California Supreme Court, and in a rather extraordinary move, the Supreme Court looked at the issue over the weekend and issued a ruling on Sunday and said Americans for Responsible Leadership, turn over the information. And it went on even into the wee hours of the night last night, because the Arizona group said they appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court to override the California Supreme Court. And then late in the night, they decided, I guess they realized they made a settlement and agreed to turn over the names of the donors, but not all the details about the donations.
Yeah, we thought we weren't going to find out anything until after the election. So this is really a major breaking story. We're talking to Julie Small, state government reporter at KPCC, about the breaking story. And I guess my final question for you is, in the light of this $11 million and its sources, largest contribution ever disclosed, by the way, is campaign money laundering in California's history, where do we go from here?
Well, I think that the Fair Political Practices Commission says we need to strengthen these laws. You know, it is very close. It really looked like it wasn't, as you say, going to happen before the election. Even when someone violates these our disclosure laws in California, the fines are very small. It's like $7,000 per violation. And there seems to be a lot of ways that people can avoid disclosure. So I think we'll be seeing in the legislature next year some efforts to make our laws, which are the strongest in the nation, one of the strongest campaign disclosure laws in the nation, make them even stronger.
Well, that's if the legislature can get it through. It may wind up as another initiative on the ballot. But
there you go. Isn't that the way?
Julie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michael.
And that's Julie Small, state government reporter at KPCC. Well, as I indicated earlier, we're going to talk about voting the day before the election and also any questions you might have, you might bring to the fore here. The number to call here, if you do have questions that linger or remain about voting, and I'm sure many of you do, our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any questions you might have or comments on our Facebook page or on our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, or tweet us, and our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. And to help you with any questions you might have and also to talk about questions related to voting, online registration, and the increased popularity of mail-in ballots and voting technology, all of that, as well as some last-minute online resources, Kim Alexander joins us, president and founder of the California Voter Foundation, a nonpartisan, nonprofit group working to improve the voting process to better serve you, the voters. Kim Alexander, welcome.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. And we'll also say hello to Dave McDonald, who is Registrar of Voters for Alameda County. Dave, good to have you aboard as well.
Hi, Michael. Thanks very much. Great to be here.
Thank you. And good to have you both. Kim, let me begin with you, just kind of getting a picture for listeners here. Total registration in the state, has increased, as has, for that matter, total numbers of registered voters compared to the number of eligible voters. We're passing 11 million for the first time. Is that right?
18 million.
18, actually. Excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a record number. Of course, you know, we live in a state where the population is always expanding. So it's hard to keep registration at pace with the population, but that's, you know, what we saw happening this election. We also saw a lot of people using the online registration system, which is still up and running. People who need to get registered can still go there at registertovote.ca.gov, but it won't count for this election, of course. But a lot of young people came in through that, and I think that's going to really help shape not just a bigger electorate, but an electorate that more accurately reflects the demographics of our state.
Yeah, they're, in fact, estimating about 1.4 million online, tending to be young, as you said, and perhaps slightly to the left, or even more than slightly to the left. But there's also more mail-in ballots this time than there were back in 2008. And I'm just wondering, from your perspective, with what is estimated to be a slower count and more votes coming in by mail, Scientific American, for example, was talking about the study done by the Voting Technology Project that said there are going to be probably a large number that will never be recorded or received.
Well, and what we're seeing is, you know, as we've moved to this expanding vote by mail and having more people sign up as permanent vote by mail voters, what we see every election is an increasing number of those ballots going out and a decreasing percentage of them going back, coming back in. It used to be that, you know, 95% of all the vote-by-mail ballots that were sent out to vote-by-mail voters came back, and now it's really come down. And this is the problem, is that we live in a very mobile state where people move around, and you have to re-register every time you move, and a lot of people think their ballot's going to follow them when they update their address at the post office, and it doesn't. So those ballots still go out. They don't connect to the voters. And those voters show up at polling places and want to still vote, and they can. They can vote a provisional ballot, but that's what's taking much longer on the back end. You got to make sure nobody's voting twice and that those votes are being cast in the right places.
Well, we've got tighter races, we've got late ballots, we've got provisional and online registration, and so we're going to maybe have slower counts. But what do you say, I mentioned the Voter Technology Project. That report said that voter-friendly initiatives like the one that you were behind and that your group promoted, online voting, could actually, sabotage the accuracy of the overall election process, that you have a really no strict chain of custody procedures.
Well, we do support online voter registration. We do not support online voting, so I just want to make that clear.
Yeah, understood.
One of the reasons why it's very beneficial is because when the voters enter their information onto the computer screen, they're keying it in. It's in a digital format in the first place. So when it gets to the counties, they actually have more accurate information, and they're not, you know, at risk of keying in, making a mistake when they key in the data from a paper form. So I think it's actually going to make it more accurate. We in California have a tighter level of security around our online voter registration than other states do. We require a match of three pieces of identifying information in the system. And there actually are some troubling developments in two other states that we're aware of, in Washington State and in Maryland, where there have been security problems with their online registration systems. And I've been working with some computer scientists to help bring those problems to the attention of election officials.
And again, Kim Alexander is president and founder of California Voter Foundation. Dave McDonald is registrar of voters with Alameda County. And Dave, let's just outline for listeners what they can do. I know you encounter constantly people who make mistakes. They don't know what to do if they make mistakes. They don't know what to do if they've moved or they forgot to register. So let's just give the outline here of what is necessary to know.
Yeah, so here we are just the day before the election. So if someone has not received their ballot, if they're a vote-by-mail voter, and in Alameda County, roughly 54% of all of our voters are vote-by-mail voters. If you haven't received it, you can come into our office. We were open this weekend on Saturday and Sunday. And we had over 2,000 people come in and vote this past weekend. And we're open now if people want to come in and vote at our office on Fallon Street in downtown Oakland. They come in, cast their ballot today.
Yeah, if you have problems, go to your county election office, not to the Secretary of State.
Yeah, I think that is probably a little more effective. We can help you immediately. And so we have people here today that are voting.
And how's your online registration going?
Well, of course, it's too late to register for this election, as Kim said. But we had a lot of online registrations. I think we had something like 57,000, 58,000 online registrations. So that was a tremendous turnout, I think, for registrations. And as Kim said, it's a lot. In one sense, it's easier for us because if your handwriting is like mine, it's probably unreadable. And so, when people do this online, we can actually read what's written, and so we get a better accuracy rate, I think.
But as I understand it, at this time last year, you had a line going down your hallway, about 1,000 people waiting to vote. Today, you don't see maybe more than 20, we'll see about tomorrow and Sunday. But you know, 4 years ago, wrapped around the building.
Yeah, 4 years ago was pretty exciting. We were open for early voting on the weekend, just like we were this past weekend. And we literally had people wrapped around the courthouse, and it was raining. And so it was a pretty exciting time. And this past weekend, yeah, we might have had 20 people in line at any given time.
Let me invite those of you listening again to join us. If you have questions about voting, if there are still questions in your mind about how to proceed and how to register, how to make sure just the mechanics of voting, that you have things down pat, this is the place and now is the time, and our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org. Or post any of your questions on our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment. You also might want to register some of your comments here about some of the changes that have gone on in voting here in the Golden State. And you may also, of course, simply want to tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. What about some, online, sorry about this, my throat, I hate to do that on the air, but there it goes. Online resources, Kim Alexander.
Yeah, we put together a list of top 10 resources online. There are some great tools for voters to go online, especially if you want to find out, you know, who the funders are behind the propositions. That's a really great shortcut that helps voters sort out, you know, who's for it, who's against it. Of course, our proposition song, you can go watch that on YouTube, and that'll help you out as well. We really like MapLight's Voter Edge guide, and we've got links to that. And if you go to our site at calvoter.org, we've got it, my blog entry for the top 10 online resources, and that one is linked prominently there. And that's just a really great up-to-date list of the top donors. We also really recommend voters go to their county election offices, and one of our, as Dave was saying, that's really where you can get the help that you need. And in fact, county registrars have the power to you know, make decisions if needed, and so sometimes they can take care of a problem that technically looks like it can't be resolved. Some of the things I like the most on county election websites are their lookup tools that let voters check their registration status, find their polling place. A lot of people, when they move within the same county, and you can actually still vote on election day if you move within the same county, but you need to go online, check, you know, that you're registered in the first place, go to what would be your new polling place, fill out a registration form. You can do a lot of the homework to help you get ready to do that on election day if you go onto your county's website. And we've got a link to our roster right on our website that links out to all those county tools.
Why don't you give your website again, Kim, would you?
Sure. It's www.calvoter.org.
And you've got some of these so-called lookup tools as well?
Yeah, we've got a county election office is the very first link on our homepage. So when you go to our site, that's the first thing we tell you to look at. And for every county that has lookup tools, we've got links going directly into those tools. Alameda County voters are lucky because Dave and his staff are terrific and offer all of the lookup tools that they possibly could to help you, you know, check your ballot, check your registration status,
find your polling place, see the status of your vote by mail ballot.
Well, Dave McDonald, here's a listener asking online, are there resources for new voters about the mechanics of voting? Example, filling out the ballot, sources for nonpartisan analysis of measures and so forth. Kim answered that. Can you add something?
Yeah, if you go to our website, which is acgov.org/ROV, as Kim said, we have something that's called My Voter Profile. And essentially everything we know about you as a voter is listed there. So you enter just a few key pieces of information. And we can come back and tell you that you're registered to vote, where your polling place is, give you a map to your polling place. But if you're interested in understanding what's on your ballot and how you should vote, you also go to that section and you can see a copy of your sample ballot. And that will include the full text of all the ballot measures, the arguments for and against, the impartial analysis that the county council has put together. So it's a great resource to find out what to do on Election Day.
And just a quick question for you, Kim Alexander. This is pretty much in your terrain. We have more Democrats than Republicans registered. That's been the case in California for many, many years now. But what about so-called independents in terms of registration?
That's growing also. I know we're up over 20%, and a lot of that is young people who are coming in. You know, a lot of the young people who registered for this election for the first time, they did register more likely as Democrats or, you know, independent voters. But a lot of them are not very partisan at all in the first place. So I don't think people should really assume they know how everybody's going to vote. But we do see, particularly among young people, this growing portion of California's voting public becoming independent and unaffiliated with any of the parties.
All right, Kim Alexander again with us, president and founder of the California Voter Foundation, and Dave McDonald, who is registrar of voters for Alameda County. Let's bring our callers in and some of your questions. Allie, you're first up. Good morning.
Good morning. So I'm wondering, I heard you say that if I am registered to vote by mail, not permanently, but I did register to vote by mail this time, and I got my ballot, but I just didn't fill it out. I'm going to go with my husband tomorrow to the polling place together. But did you say that if I do that, since I am registered to vote by mail, they won't accept my option to vote?
Right? Dave McDonald?
Yeah, I can answer that. And that happens a lot. For whatever reason, you haven't mailed it in time. You go to your polling place. You put your ballot in it's probably a yellow envelope. Make sure you sign at the bottom, and you can drop it off at the polling place, and it absolutely will count. Or
okay,
you can
so
come down here.
The ballot that they sent me in the mail.
Yeah, so you have that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have the envelope that you're supposed to return it in. So just put the ballots in that envelope and seal it, sign it, and you're good.
Okay, good to know.
Okay, exercise today. Your
really
franchise, Allie. And,
yeah, can I just add something about that,
Kim
too?
Alexander, yeah.
This is a great question. We get this all the time from voters that say, you know, I have my vote by mail ballot. I haven't sent it in yet. What should I do? Definitely do not put it in the mail at this point. Under California law, it's not sufficient that your ballot be postmarked by Election Day. It actually has to be received by county election offices before the close of polls. And you can drop off your vote by mail ballot at your local polling place, at any polling place within your county or your county election office, but just don't put it in the mail. And you have to sign it. One of the reasons why vote by mail ballots don't get counted is because voters fail. They have to sign the envelope that it goes in, not the ballot itself, but the envelope. And that's how election officials verify it while keeping your ballot secret. So if you spoiled your vote by mail ballot, you can take it back to your polling place, surrender it, get a fresh one. If you lost it, you can still go to your polling place and vote a provisional ballot.
And we thank Allie for the call. I want to go to more of your calls in a moment, but I realize I often take listeners' knowledge about matters for granted. We spoke earlier with Julie Small, and I didn't mention that when we talked about the $11 million from the Arizona group, should have talked about at least where that money was going. We were talking about the sources of it. At least part of the money went to oppose Prop 30, Governor Brown's tax measure, and also support Prop 32, which would severely curb the political activities of unions. Let me go to more of your calls. And Doris, you're up. Hi.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much. I've been a poll worker for pretty much all my adult life, and I'm honored that Mr. McDonald is our registrar. He's so savvy and so wise. My question is, if you are voting routinely absentee and you sign the envelope and all that good stuff, how is that signature verified, and how often should one update one's signature to make sure it is exactly matching the original signature when you registered?
That's a great question. So we mail out 450,000 vote-by-mail ballots, and we have to verify all those signatures when they come back. And so far, we've received almost 200,000 in the mail. So our first step is we have an electronic signature verification process. And if it fails that, which occasionally a signature will, then we have staff that manually review it. Now, all of us, our signatures have probably changed over time. And so if your signature has changed, you should re-register with a new signature. And perhaps sometimes with elderly people, they've had a stroke, and so the signature is nothing like when they first registered. But we reject very few ballots because of signatures not matching. And if they don't match, we notify the voter that it didn't match so they can go ahead and re-register.
Here's an interesting question, Dave. Mind you, we did a whole program, and it's in our archives, on voter fraud. And Ed says, with the ongoing discussions about voter fraud in the United States, I'd like to ask if you've actually ever encountered voter fraud attempts in Alameda County, and how did it happen?
I hear a lot of comments about voter fraud, and we do take that very seriously, and we investigate. I have found cases of people voting twice, and I will tell you, almost without exception, it's an elderly person who sent in their vote-by-mail ballot, they forgot they did it, and they went to the polls. Now, the only one ballot counted, the first one we receive, counts. But quite frankly, in Alameda County, and I think certainly the rest of California, there's very little evidence of voter fraud. It may be mistakes, errors that voters make, but the claims, I've heard claims of lots and lots of undocumented people coming to the polls and vote, and that just does not happen.
No, that was pretty much what was concluded in our discussion. We had a number of experts on talking about that, and as I said, it's in our archives. Question for you, Kim Alexander, from a listener named Brooke. Could you please walk me through the process, she writes, flow for early voting? Does my early vote get counted along with Tuesday voters? How does that work?
That's also a great question, and I'll probably defer to Dave to answer that. And actually, I want to add on a question for him, which is, if you had a voter who, let's say, put their ballot in the mail yesterday, like vote-by-mail ballot, and then realized that it probably is not going to be arriving by election day, can they go in and vote a provisional ballot on election day and knowingly send in two ballots? Is that election fraud, or is that just something that happens?
Yeah, I don't think we would consider that election fraud. And so, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. It is definitely too late to put anything in the mail right now. So, you know, I would say go to the polls. You'll be asked to vote provisionally. So you'll fill out a ballot. You'll put it in a special envelope with your name and your address, and you'll have to sign it. And then that comes back to our office, and we research those after Tuesday's election.
And what about the question about early voting and how it's factored in, Dave?
Yeah, early voting, as I said, we've so far received 200,000 ballots in the mail. We have already started processing those, although we don't know what the results are. We've opened all those. We've scanned them into our system. So on election night at 8 o'clock, maybe about a minute after 8 o'clock, we'll release results. And those will be all the vote-by-mail ballots that we've received up till that point in time.
And I want to bring in more of our callers. Philip, join us. You're on Forum.
Hi, thank you. A couple of questions. One, if I was to mark, write in a candidate, I'm thinking of voting for Rocky Anderson. If I do that, will that invalidate my ballot? And the second question is, in Contra Costa, they have machines where you put in a voter ballot that you've filled out the little bubbles in, and are those how long, and the vote is tallied by the machine? How long do they keep those ballots? I mean, if there's any dispute later on, like a couple of months down the road or something, do they keep them that long so that they can be recounted?
Yeah, excellent question. By law, we keep all election material for 22 months. So we have a lot of paper at our warehouse, a lot of paper ballots. So if there is a question later on, it can be we can look at it. As far as the write-in votes, what happens is those, every time there's a write-in, in Alameda County, you connect the arrows, and Contra Costa, you fill in the bubble. But if there's a write-in and you scan it into a machine, it goes into a separate bin, and then those all have to be manually inspected. But it does not invalidate anything else on your ballot.
And Laura wants to know, Kim Alexander, under what circumstances can a felon vote, and when can they not? And do the rules differ according to state or county?
I always get this confused. I think you, as long as you're on probation?
Yeah, if you're on parole,
yeah,
then you can't vote.
Yeah, but if you're on probation, I think you can.
That's correct.
So we do have a law in California that allows people to restore their voting rights even after they've been a felon. And the Secretary of State has a very good guidelines on her website at sos.ca.gov. So I encourage people who want to learn more about that to look there. And I just wanted to also, to the previous question that came up, the kinds of things that can invalidate your ballot. We were involved in a poll last year that the Greenlighting Institute conducted that found that 30% of the registered voters they polled mistakenly believe they have to vote on everything on the ballot in order for their ballot to be counted. And so we really want to get the message out to voters that, you know, this is not a test. If you don't know how to vote on something, you can skip it and go on to the next one. The only thing that's really going to invalidate your ballot, and Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, is if you actually sign your ballot. You can't put anything on your ballot that identifies who you are, but you can leave contest blank, and it'll still be counted.
Let me get another quick call. And Steve, that's you. Hi, welcome.
Hi. I have a friend who moves around, actually a couple of friends who move around a lot. And I was encouraging them to get registered at one spot, like, for example, either their parents' house or at my place. And so because they don't know sometimes where they're going to be living on election day. And so my question is it legal for them to register at my house? And even though they're actually living in a different county at the time, can they get a provisional ballot? It'll get sent here. I'll forward it to them. And they can vote in this county?
Well, you need to register where you live. So
it's that simple, isn't it?
It's that simple.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you can, if you do move around a lot, and we have a lot of people that do that, a lot of students are very mobile. Young people, of course, are very mobile. If they just let us know when they change address, it'll be fine. We can also, you live in Alameda County, but you're going to be out of the country or out of state. We can forward your ballot to your new address.
Well, let us end it there. And again, if you have any additional questions, be sure to go to your county election office. The Secretary of State is not necessarily open for business. And you can find a link to California Voter Foundation on our website with all of that information. We thank Kim Alexander from the California Voter Foundation. Kim, good to have had you with us. Goodbye, Kim. And we'll say goodbye to you, Dave McDonald, the Registrar of Voters for Alameda County. Thank you for being with us as well. And that goes certainly for all of you, our listeners. We wouldn't be here without you. We thank you for being part of this program. We want to also thank our senior editor, Dan Zoll, and our producers, Judy Campbell and Tina Larberg, Irene Noguchi, and Amanda Stupai. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, and our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. For all of us at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, owners of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.